抛弃。OK， yeah， OK， all right， it's so good to be back again， and I have lots of people tonight who cover all of us in prayer from all over the place, and not only that, actually they've been praying for the one intense for one whole week for all of you, and we pray.That today and tomorrow, it's not about me, it's not about us, it's about the Father Himself, it's about Jesus Himself come to each and every one of us to reveal His heart, to reveal who He is. Because as a Christian, we know Jesus as a Savior. But how many of us knows that He's a Father? We find at the end of the session tomorrow, we will talk about the Father heart of God. Many of you may have attended or heard about it. But end of that, tomorrow, we will have these sessions. And I hope that we have these reconciliations with the Father. Because if we really pay attention, Jesus...Life, a prayer life, it's always about Him and the Father. If you really read as well that Jesus tried to explain, even in John 17, he says that, Father, I already introduced you to the world. So Jesus tried to explain to the world that this is me andThis is the Father. Jesus tried to direct us not only to Him as a Savior, but also to the Father. If you read, even Paul says, Holy Spirit will teach us how to pray and reveal what's in Father's heart. See? So everything will go back, will come back to Father.But tomorrow we also will talk about why it is hard for some people to just say, Father in heaven. When they close their eyes, it's so hard to say, to call God in heaven as a Father. This is one of the hardest obstacles that they face when they come to pray and call Him as a Father. I remembermy dad died when I was 14, going to 15. And it's the most hardest time for a teenage to lose a father, because that's the time you need a confidence the most. As a woman, as a girl, when we have a father on our side, we have so much confidence. I remember when since I was young until I was like 15, my dad is the only person who touched my hair.He always the one who cut my hair. Do you remember Lady Diana's hair? He will come. And he tried to cut it like that. And then this is sometimes like very long this at the front and short at the back. Yeah, I have that hairstyle because he tried. Not only that, he's the person, my dad is the one who always take my school report.Until when he died, I just realized that nobody could come to take my school report. And then just who will come? So when my dad died in such a young age, it's so difficult for me and my younger sister to dealing with that. But when the Father in heaven comes and reveal who He is, we have the confidence back again. We have that confidence again.So I hope by end of the sessions, we will understand Father's heart and we will go back and we have different relationship with Him. And you will see how beautiful, beautiful that relationship with the Father. Okay, so today I just wanted to introduce you the big pictures about the prayer. So tomorrow we will talk about the intimacy of God, how we can learn to hear the voice of God.You want me to use the mic? Is it all right? You can. So tomorrow we will learn how to listen the voice of God, different types of voices, and what blocked us to hear clearly from God, and how God speaks to us, like through dreams, many things. And then we will learn in that point all the blockages, all the hindrances, the problem that stop us to hear from God. One of them is forgiveness. So we will touch on forgiveness more on details, and we will. So every sessions we will end with ministry. So at the end of the sessions, you will have the freedom. And also we will forgiveness for the heart of God, how to hear the voice of God, and then we will practice, pray for each other, and then ask God about the other persons. What do you want to speak to the other person through me? It will be very, very excited. I remember when I teach this in prison, and then it comes, you know, even in prisons, there are different denominations, prisoners, and it's hard for them to believe that. But when I speak, I tell them that this is what the Bible says. And this is, if you know these big people with tattoos, they're scary, they're angry. When they come, they was like this, looking at me like this. It's 180 people at that day. And then at the end of sessions, I say, okay, take partner, find a person that you don't know, and let's learn to hear God's voice. And they look at me like that. So I said, just relax. And when we come to the point, I give them two questions that they need to ask God. And suddenly, like, they take their own way. Some go outside under the tree, some closer to the pool, whatever they want to do. And suddenly, I saw one guy looks so scary, but he cried like never before. And then after that session, I asked, okay, let's talk about it. What happened? And he lifts up, he raises his hand, he says, this is my first time. I could not believe that God wants to talk to me. And what happened was, he was sitting with this African guy. He hates this African guy so much until he plans in prison to just like want to kill or do bad things to him. Like really hates without no reason. But that day, when he started to pray, just happened, he had to take partner with this African guy. Can you imagine? He was just like in church, because this is in church, I'm not going to hit him or whatever. So he started to pray and follow. The moment he closed his eyes, the word of God came to him and says, I love you. He says, God says, I love you. And he's just so surprised that he could hear that. And then he started to say, I love you. Why you hate him? Why? God says, why you hate him? And he started to pray for this guy. And you know, at the end of sessions, the two of them become best friends. Until now, very good friend until now. And he gave this testimony. You see that God can change everything when we sit down, we listen from him. He will tell us everything that we need to know, that tell us everything that he wants us to know. So I'm expecting a great encounter with God and miracles. We pray for healings as well this weekend. Excited. Yeah. Let's see. Prayer. Yeah. What is prayer? Prayer is dialogue. I'm sorry if there's a misspelling or grammar. You can give me a corrections after this, because this is my okay, dialogue with God or communication with God. Two ways communication. Prayer is the breath of believer's life. So in Indonesia, we always say it's like, if we don't pray, if we not pray, that means we're going to die. Like, because prayer is like a breath. Like, every day when we breathe, that is prayer. So as a Christians, when we don't pray one day, that means we like dying. Because our body, we have body, soul, and spirit. How our body, to keep up our body healthy and have energy to have activity, we have to eat. Like I fasted since Tuesday until yesterday, and started from 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, I started to so weak, I couldn't concentrate, you know, because no liquid, no sugar, you know, it's just hard to concentrate. So it's the same thing that our spiritual life. If we don't pray, if we don't read the Bible, in one day, our spiritual body will become so weak. And can you imagine if you don't pray for 1 week? You'll be dead. It's the same thing. Prayer is the breath of the believers. So if we don't pray, we will die. Our spiritual life will be dead. We don't have that passion. We lost the passion to serve the Lord. We lost the passion to love other. Because every day when we pray, we will recharge again. We will gain the new strength to do our life, to go for the ministry. And also, prayer is dialogue. There are people who only wants to talk one way. Like they just talk and talk and talk, talk, and then, God, I pray, blah, 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 blah. Okay, in Jesus' name, amen. They don't even give sometimes to God to respond back. Look, prayer is not a one-way conversation. It's two ways. That's why we can't be in a hurry when we come to prayer. Because God is like our Father. Can you imagine when we talk to our parents? When we talk to our mom and dad, Mom, I need blah, 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 blah. Okay, bye. Or Dad, I need it. Bye-bye. At least we pause for a while and allows him to respond back. No, you don't need that, baby. You don't need that. No, you're not going to have that now. No, you have to wait. Or says, no, that's not good for you. That's not belong to you. No. Okay, wait. Yes, you're going to have it today. So it's two ways. Give him the time. Give him the moment. Give him time to respond back. Yeah, types of prayer. I just divided to three because this is what we are going to talk the most for the next for tomorrow. For the number one is devotions or quiet time. Yeah, one pastor's in Indonesia. He's now. Almost 80, and he's still strong, and he's still, like, in his spirit, he's still very strong. So people came up to him and asked him, can you tell us what makes you, like, have this stamina, spiritual stamina, until you're still this strong at your age? He says this, very simple. I'm very disciplined in my devotion. I'm very disciplined in my quiet time. That is the fuel for every believer to go strong and to go far. Devotion is very crucial, everyone, for our spiritual life. Devotion is dedication. It's a time that we dedicate to God every day. Not once a week, not twice a week, not once a month, every day. That's no compromise as a Christian, especially as a leader. You can't leave your house without having a devotion with God. That's the resource that you need to get to do your ministry. You can't go and serve people with empty tank. What are you going to give to them? What are you going to say to them? You're empty. Every day, it doesn't matter, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, you need to sit down, dedicate a certain time and started to talk to God and listen to him. Okay, second one, intercessions. Intercessory prayer is standing up in the gap, yeah, between God and man, between man and the devil. Let's open this Ezekiel 22, verse 30, maybe. maybe someone can pray, can read it. In Isaiah 59, 16, and 1 Timothy 2, verse what? Ezekiel 22, verse 30. Can anyone read it for me, please? This is when I read every time when we pray for the nations, for the city where I went, where we are. I always read this, and it just broke my heart, because Jesus says, the Lord says at that time, I try to find somebody who willing to stand between the nations and me, so I don't destroy this land. But I couldn't find. That means there are no people who willing to pray, intercede for the nations, for the city, for young people, for mothers, for family, because they're busy praying for themselves. Intercessory, it's a prayer who really standing in the gap between nations or between other people and God. I remember when I'm back in Jogja, in Indonesia. Have you been to Indonesia before, Java? Yeah, it's Yogyakarta is a student city, so we have like 100 university college there. So people from all over Indonesia will come to Jogja, and they will study there. So everywhere you go, there's full of young people, motorbike everywhere. Yeah, students, they're students. And I guess the cheapest things that you can find in Indonesia is in Jogja, because that's student price. But also, student age is the best time for us to introduce to Jesus, about Jesus to them. Amen? So what happened was, we have to stand up for the city, for that place that bring the whole young people to Jesus, in front of Jesus, and ask the Lord to save them, because this is the best moment that they get to know Jesus in here. So we stand in. Every week, we will go and drive our car around the city and pray over the city every day. Like sometimes three times in one day we pray. And we went up to the higher ground, and we started to releasing all the blessings for all the young people. And I remember in that day, in 2003, there was a big, big revival in Yogyakarta. Hundreds of young people come for the revival meeting and then give their life to Jesus. There is no, if you see young people when they worship God, it's like they really shake the heaven. When they pray for Indonesia, they're kneeling down, they cry and cry. This is young people, they cry. They say, God, help our nation. Jesus, I'll help our nations. You see revival. I thought that day, oh, Jesus, come. Lord Jesus, come. This is the best time if you want to come back. Do you know that in Revelation, it says that I can hear the sounds like a beast worshiping God. That day, I could hear things like that. When they worship God, you hear like one voice. But Jesus says, God says that he looked for someone. He looked for someone who willing to pray, intercede, to standing in between God and the man and the devil, to pray for that person, to tell the devil to leave them alone. Okay, the next verse, Isaiah 59. Yeah. So he's once again, he says, no one, no one for this city, for the town, for these nations, no one. Okay, 1 Timothy. Timothy chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 1. Yeah. So, intercessors mean we pray for someone else. We pray for leaders in our church. We pray for our neighbors. We pray, we petition, we pray for someone else except ourselves. We don't pray for ourselves. For someone else. Yeah. And Ephesians 6:11-12, it says that So this verse is pretty clear that our enemy is not the flesh and blood, but this is the enemy, the devil, the spirit of this world. Yeah. So tomorrow we will speak about this more in spiritual warfare. And that's why God needs somebody, intercessor, to stand and pray for someone else who under attack. Yeah? Okay. The next one is spiritual warfare. The conflict between the kingdom of God. The conflict between the kingdom of God and Satan begin in the Garden of Eden. When I talked about this with my best friend, she's a pastor, she said, no, it's not started in the Garden of Eden. It started in heaven when Lucifer started to rebel. I said, yeah, you are right. But if I go back to that, it's going to be long explanations again. She said, you're right. Just yeah, so it's between the kingdom of God and Satan begin in the Garden of Eden. Yeah. Genesis 3:15. Can someone read it? And the Revelation 27. That's it. Revelation 20. So the spiritual warfare, there are people who emphasize too much on this, okay? Too much. I experienced that more. I was raised in a very, very strict spiritual life that I can't color my hair, I can't watch concert. I have to pray for certain hours a day. I'm serious. Like certain hours, how many hours a day, like very strict. Yeah, it's good. But it's just like, oh my God, I can't enjoy my young life. it's torturing. The conflict, the reason why I said that, because we thought that we fight the spiritual warfare. We go into the spiritual warfare to get the victory. We fight based on fear. But if you understand, the Bible clearly says that Jesus died and go down to hell and get all the keys, come back alive and bring the victory. So when we enter spiritual warfare, it's not because we want to get the victory. No, we fight because based on the victory. We are the winning side. We are not the losing side. So when we go into the spiritual warfare, we declare, we command you to live because you don't have a right because Jesus died for us. So we don't fight because from the losing side. No. But there are people who emphasize too much. Like, so it sounds like if we don't do this, we will be defeated. Yeah? No. Oh, no way. We are insulting the power of cross. Right? No. What we are doing now, we declare, we command them to live. We take what belongs to us. we fight from the winning side, not from the losing side. Until the Revelation 20, if you read it the whole truth, until after the 100 years, and at the end, the devil will be put into to hell for forever. Yeah. How did Jesus pray? This is my favorite subject. How Jesus, I love reading this part. I mean, it just shows that Jesus is just like me. Like, it's beautiful. Last night I read from John 17 verse 23. This is what Jesus says. Father, let them know that you love them as much as you love me. Oh my goodness, I was like crying. That means our Father in heaven loved me the same, equal the way he loved Jesus. Do you understand that? I always thought that Jesus is God and the Father loved Jesus more than he loves me. Like, his love is eternity. There's no limit. But that word says, Jesus says, Father, I pray that they know that you love them as much as you love me. It's the same. Father loved Jesus. It's the same amount he loves me. Don't you think it's beautiful? Like, oh, I'm so confident. Like, yeah. Like, ooh. Like, you're so confident when you're in your prayer. You have that love that the world cannot give. The authority in prayer. Like, I am loved by Father as much as you love Jesus. God. Yeah. So Matthew 6, verse 1-7. Go into the room. Okay. I couldn't find in the right English word because I tried to translate it from Indonesia to English and it's like long-winded, is it? Yeah, it's like long-winded, but I'm not sure if long-winded is a good word or proper word to use. Or go around the bushes. Yeah, so go into the room, do not long-winded, pour out your heart like what this psalmist and Moses. If you read Exodus, the whole truth, if you read the way Moses pray, it's just so funny, yet it's so sad. He says, when the Israel is complaining, he says unto God, am I their father? He says, for God, am I their father? Am I the one who giving birth? Am I the one who asked him want to take them out? He was like so blunt to God. He says, even in Psalms, he says, I'm so angry, I feel like I want to smash their head. I mean, they pour out their heart. What God wants us to do is, it's use your own language. Like, don't worry about grammar, like me. Or don't worry if you use the wrong language, no problem. Because prayer is about the relationship with you and God. Then he says that why you have to go into the room. It speaks about intimacy. It speaks about the closest intimacy. It speaks about the relationship about husband and wife. That deep, that close intimacy. That's what God wants us to have. Yeah, the second one. Sorry, that should be a second. Set aside destination, time, and place. Okay? Look. Mark 1:35 and IV says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to the solitary place where he prayed. He says, very early in the morning, when it's still dark, and he went to solitary place. We can't expect God to speak to us if we don't spend time, set aside time for him. It says, I'm waiting for God to talk to me, but you have 100,000 things a day to do, and you don't set aside time and place for him to pray. In Jogja, we have, like I said, prayer mountain. So I try to do that like twice a year, just spend 3 days there, and it's always spectacular when we went up there. He will show up himself and say something big for the next year or 6 months. It's just crazy. But you know, when we appreciate someone, when we set aside really certain time for somebody, they will appreciate it. God will do the same thing. He knew that it is hard for you to set aside this time. He will show up. He will reveal himself to you. Yeah, Luke 6:12. Now it comes to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continue all night in prayer to God. Once again, he chose certain place up to the mountain and he prayed all night long. I tried it this quite often, pray all night. So we start at the night, 9 p.m. until like 3 o'clock in the morning. We have a break in between. It's just amazing. The hardest time is 12 to 2, like physically. I go sleepy, and then you started to have visions, like, you know, like, oh, very bad. But after past 2 to 3, and even to 4, it's just the best time. It's just so good. God just speaks so clearly. There are reasons why Jesus chose early morning, nighttime, because it, I think it's the most quietest time. Try. It's hard, but yeah. Yeah, eliminate distractions. Luke 5:15. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into wilderness and pray. Jesus in a ministry, so many people follow you. Your ministry can be a distraction to you. We have this heart to serve so many people. But don't forget, we need to serve him first before these people. So what Jesus do? He set aside, he go away. He sent them, he told them to go back home. No, I can't do this anymore. Just go back home. And once again, he go to the wilderness. He choose the most quiet place so he could pray, he could hear from Father again. Matthew 14:23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountains by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. Yeah? This is amazing how Jesus always teaches us to be effective in our ministry. We have to be disciplined with our own time with the Lord. Set aside time and place to listen from him, to hear from him, to be effective in our ministry. Yeah. Another distraction that can come nowadays is social media. Yeah? How we are somehow, it's just like, even me, woke up, the moment I open my eyes, I grab my phone, just open up some things. Yeah? Our phones. But just like waiting, like we're standing and waiting for someone, we grab our phone, it just immediately just open Facebook. It's just like we are trained to do that, like Twitter, Facebook. It's become so much distractions to us, social media. So not only people, not only ministry, but phones, social media can be a great distraction. Yeah, this is what I've learned, that in 1 Corinthians 14, let's read it together. For if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, but I don't understand what I'm saying. Well then, what shall I do? I will pray in the spirit, and I will also pray in words I understand. I will sing in the spirit and I will also sing in words I understand. So Paul says that we can pray in the words, normal word, but also we have the gift of tongues that we can pray in the spirit. So it can be done like in normal, but someone who have the gifts of spirit or speak in tongues, you can start to speak in tongues. That means your spirit and God's spirit connect. But it doesn't mean when we pray in our normal words, that means that our spirits not connect. No. It's just there are times that we don't have enough words. We can use that gift. We can use the gift of tongue to pray. These three types of prayer can be done as the Spirit led. So I'm going to go back. Yeah. These three types of prayer, devotion, intercessions, and spiritual warfare. Why I said that it can be done as the Spirit led? Yeah, because there are people who only every day just want a spiritual warfare, just want to pray there. Also, there are people who just every day pray for someone else's, but not for themselves. Who don't sit down and listen from God, and there's corrections come to them. God correct us, and then we can come to the repentance every day. So for me, I always try to be balanced when it comes to this prayer. Yes, I pray a lot for many people, for my nations, for the city. Wherever I go, I started to pray days before I go to the city so the city will welcome me. The churches, the people there will welcome me. They will open up for the door of salvation. But I also discipline in my time, take time every day, allows Him to correct me, allows the Word of God to open up what's the real, what is in my heart. And I will come to the repentance every day. Come to His love, His grace every day. It keeps me humble every day and rely on His love, rely on His power every day. Yeah. The kind of prayer God answers. A righteous man understands the status of a child of God. The motivations behind our prayer should align with the will of God or the word of God. An honest prayer. Okay, let's read John 1 verse 12. Yep, this is very powerful in our prayer. Before we go into a prayer, we have to understand our status in front of God. We are the child of God. So when we go and pray and stand in front of God for other people, we have no doubt that will he hear me? Who am I in front of Him? We have this holy boldness, we have this holy confidence that He will listen to us because we are the child of God. Okay, Romans 8, 15 to 17. Yeah, this is also beautiful, beautiful word about our status in front of God, who we are when we pray. When the devil says that, no, who are you that you try to pray and ask this to Him? We can use this verse, no? Bible says, I am His heir. I am the child of the living God. So we need to understand we cannot be defeated by the devil when he started to intimidate us that you are not deserved, you are not holy enough, you are not good enough. Because no matter what, the Bible says, I am the child of God. I have direct line to go in front of his throne and bring my petition. I have direct line or access to the Abba Father to bring all my petitions. So don't let the devil try to lie to us when we come to our prayer. Yeah, Isaiah 59, 1 to 2. Yeah, so we question why God doesn't answer our prayer. Why he didn't, why I pray, how come he didn't answer my prayer? Bible says it's not because his ear is not sharp enough or his hand is not long enough to help us, but there is sin that blocks us. Do you know that? Okay, this is a sin and this is God. Okay, God is there in the chair. So one rule for us to go closer to him, because he's holy, no matter what, he's holy. One of the rules, we can go closer to him, that we will have to repent, then no sins. Like we have to admit it, our sins, and let him cleanse us, and then we can go closer to him. But as long we still carry this sin, no matter how we try, we can't reach, because there is a rule, there is boundaries. Like he's holy, so the holiness will keep us away because we still carry this sin. So what we need to do, just put it down. Just say, Lord, John 1 verse 1, he says he's good. Whenever we confess our sins, he will forgive us. So what we need to do, just put it down, confess and repent. That's it. Then we can go closer to him and bring our petitions and prayer. So, and the second one is the motivations behind our prayer should align with the will of God. Can someone read for us? James 4:3. Yeah, I always say that the best way for us to get an answer prayer is prayer the way God wants us to pray. How? That's why every time I pray, I always ask Holy Spirit, because in 2 Corinthians now it says that Holy Spirit reveal what's in Father's heart. So I say, Holy Spirit, teach me how to pray for this man. So teach me how to pray for this God. And Holy Spirit will started to put a words in my heart, a words in my mind, started to give me wisdom and knowledge how to pray for this man. So when we pray, we exactly pray to the needs that he needs, to the things that we really need to pray. This is what we learn tomorrow, how to listen from him. And then we started to pray for each other. But also motivations behind our prayer. So can you imagine, because we like, this is what I always use for the young people. They say that, oh, I like that girl, I like that man, but she's married, he married. So I'm going to pray they will get divorced so I can get that man. And this is because they just get engaged. They say, oh, as long as they're not married, they're still engaged. I was like, where did you learn that from? He said, well, as long as it's not married, I have a right to pray. I said, stop it. Are you insane or something? I said, it's someone else's. and they says, Bible says you will never get an answer prayer because you ask out of your flesh. Motivations of our prayer should be aligned with the will of God or the word of God. So how could we pray for somebody to kill himself? The Bible doesn't say that. And I already told, wherever I go, I say, when you pray, make sure that everything you got, your visions, once again, we'll learn this tomorrow, your visions, dreams should align with the Word of God. So read more Bible than other book. Because so when you get a visions or you can hear voices, you'll have to go back to the Bible. Does Bible say this? Or this has come from the devil? So Bible is the best filter, especially for us who get involved in a ministry, who praise a lot for people. This is the best filter we could use to differentiate. Is this from the God? Is the motivations from our flesh, from the devil, or from God? So everything that we do, everything that we pray for has to be according to the Word of God or aligned with the will of God. So I don't know how to put it in English, but in Indonesia, we always use this word that how to get an answer prayer is mean the man has to be righteous and the prayer should be righteous as well. I mean, it translated like that. It's the person should be right, but also the prayer should be right. As in right, as like we know how positions in front of God, that we are fine, righteous in front of God. And that not only that, but our motivation to pray should be pure, from aligned with the Word of God. An honest prayer, like what Moses, like a David, like so many people in like Elisha. An honest prayer, just say whatever in your heart. Because God knows the deepest things in my heart, in your heart. I remember when after Andrew died, I was so angry. I remember I went to Jamboree and my good friends drove me down around. And I was like, that point is just like, my heart is so painful. But also somehow I could feel somebody like very close to me. Like someone, his face, like you can feel his breath in your face, like in the car. I know it's God. Like in our deepest grief, deepest broken life, that's the closest he will be to us. But because I'm so angry, he's here and I know he's there. I just stand around my face and I say, go away. I don't want to talk to you. Go away. I literally say that. Then they said, go away. I don't want to talk to you. How could you do this to me? I said that. But God never leave me. God never leave. He's still there. Knocking every day, no matter what. Waiting for me to come to him. To listen. To explain. To comfort me. But I'll be honest with him. Lord, it's so painful. There are people who say, oh yeah, God, it's painful, but I know you, I know, for me, no. I just say whatever I want to say. I just, no, I hate you. Why you tell me to go there? Why it is, why did that, why? And I just read a Bible and I say, you a liar, God. I did this, and you didn't answer my prayer. And when he comforted me, he explained, when he healed my heart, then I could see everything clearly, that he always right. The problem is always in with me, never been him. So just be honest. Whatever's in your heart, just be honest, and you will hear him answer your prayer. He will talk to you back. So don't be surprised one day that I remember when I was sleeping on my bed and I was like, God, what time you want me to wake up in the morning? 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock? And it says, I'm waiting for him, no answer, no impressions in my heart, 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock. And then, okay, God, let's make an agreement. I'm gonna sleep, then you will wake me up at the time you want me to pray. So, and this has happened so often to me. Then I sleep, and suddenly, but I could hear someone walking, like in the bushes. You can hear the sound, like if you go out in Australia, there's lots of dry leaves, so when you walk, you can the sun that sound. So in my room, I could be like that sound, and someone standing next to me and says, "Phoebe, wake up, pray." I was like, "Phoebe," three times, and the third time he says, "Phoebe," and they just jump up from my bed, and I says, "Ooh, what time?" And then I see it's 5:03. So I know, all right, he wants to wake up 3 o'clock and then prayer. That is one that happens so often. I really ask him to wake me up to pray at a certain time that he wants me to pray. And he really sent his angel to just woke me up. Look, all of us are called to pray because prayer is the breath of a believer. There's no need space, no need rocket science, no need certain people to have that encounter, to have to meet Jesus personally. No certain like special people. All of us can have that relationship. All of us can meet Jesus every day in our life. We need this because only this through our prayer that help us to overcome our problem, our fear in this world. If the disciples need that, if Jesus himself, we have read the Bible, Jesus needs that, how much more we as a human being need this love, this intimacy, this relationship with him. We can't live. I used to say that at least you as a Christian, you need one encounter with Jesus. That's enough. That will sustain your spiritual life for the rest of your life. Wrong. What happened with me? One encounter, then bad things happen. Oh, I'm so angry, like little kid, like throwing every day. No. We need every day encounter with the Lord. Amen. We need every day closer, intimate relationship with the Abba Father. We need every day, not only once a year, not only once in our lifetime, but every day. We need to see him in our life. We need to set aside time every morning, night, or afternoon to talk to him, listen from him. That's the only way he can sustain our spiritual life, so we will not going to burn out. We're not going to break down when trials and difficulty comes in our life. Through prayer. When we don't pray, we die. Because prayer is the breath of our life. As a Christian, as a believer. Prayer is a channel that's so powerful. We are so blessed. We don't have to pray in certain times or limited, facing certain directions or like we can pray anywhere, anytime for 24 hours. How blessed we are. Well, I pray that this is opening will help us. We go home tonight while we're laying down, like David says. I'm looking forward every day on my bed, just laying down and think about your goodness. That's why I love sleep so much. It takes so long for me to wake up because I take another hour just to get up from my bed because I started to talk, think about God. It's just my best time. David says that I'm looking forward to nighttime so I can lay down my bed and start thinking about your goodness. So I pray tonight that we go home on the way back in the car or whatever we do tonight, we started to learn to communicate with him. Talk to him as a friend, as a father, as a lover. Because he really, really miss us. He miss us every day. He miss like a lover. He miss like a husband who is his wife, or father to the children. Communicate every day. Ask him everything. He so really long that relationship with us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Abba, thank you for tonight. Father, I pray and I pray, Lord, that you will seal every word, every verses, every story that already been sowed in their hearts with the blood of Jesus. I pray that you will protect them with the blood of Jesus wherever they go on the way back home. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you intrigue them, you stir their heart and their spirit, so they started to have this relationship with you. They started to open up and started to talk in a different way with you, Father. And they will experience this amazing and spectacular relationship with you. Thank you, Abba. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so grateful. We love you, Lord. We love you, Abba. Thank you, Holy Spirit, God. I pray that you will explain to them the way that you want them to understand. I'm very limited in the way I can explain the word that I can use. But I know, Holy Spirit, you can explain to the way, to the extent you want them to understand. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.